Praise the Lord. We're going to have communion and a meal together. Praise the Lord. It's always a good thing. You know, it's good to worship as families. We're a family together, but today's also an opportunity that, you know, children be out with the parents and worship. You know, it's good having things specifically geared towards certain ages, but it's also good to be all together. I want to share from the Word before we have communion, Luke chapter 22, Luke 22, and I'll read verse 14 through 16. It says, when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them with desire, or a great desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Now Jesus is approaching his death, his crucifixion, the suffering, and knowing he will be raised from the dead the third day. He's approaching that, and he says to them, they're going to have the Passover meal, which after God brought the children of Israel out from Egypt, or rather before he brought them out, he had the Passover, which was that the angel that would bring that 10th judgment of death was going to pass over them when he would see the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. And that judgment was being brought on Egypt, but that judgment would pass over them, and because of the blood. Well, we all deserve judgment because of sin, but Jesus took our sin upon himself. That judgment would pass over us because it came upon him. So we are not destined to hell. We are not destined to that punishment, but rather it's passed over. And really, that's what forgiveness is that the consequence of sin is going to be borne by someone else, and that you're released from what you would owe or the payments you would owe for your sin. So he says here, with this great desire, I've desired to do this, and this is going to be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Now, last week, in what we could call Christmas service, I was sharing from the scriptures with you the many, many, many of them, not even all of them, of the prophecies of Christ that were fulfilled at his birth and shortly thereafter, and leading up to it as well. And we were looking at those prophecies, and the word there is that he fulfilled this prophecy. He fulfilled this one. He fulfilled this one and this one. And here he is speaking, approaching his death, that he's going to fulfill this of the Passover. Because that Passover was a picture of Jesus coming as the Lamb of God to take away all sin from all of God's people, both then, past, present, and future, forevermore. He would be that Passover Lamb. We cannot do enough good works to pay for our sins. But we don't have to. That's the good news. Jesus paid for it all once and for all on his body. So he's saying here, he had this great passion, this great longing desire. Now, the thing I marvel at this is that he's moving forward towards his death. And in this time after the meal, he says, the one who's going to betray me is sitting at the table. Now, to be betrayed is a horrible thing, where someone's going to, like, turn you into the authorities to be imprisoned, say. In this case, it would be to death. And it was Judas, and Jesus knew it was Judas, yet he still walked in love to the end. To be betrayed and forsaken is very terrible. The 11 disciples left him for fear of what the soldiers might do. But it was even worse with Judas. Judas walked with him, saw the miracles, saw all that he did, yet he was turning him over to the authorities to be killed for 30 pieces of silver. And that as well was prophesied. The reason all these things were prophesied ahead is that as one would look through the death of Jesus, they could see, yes, this is the Christ God spoke of, that there's no doubt. Jesus was the Savior. So this Passover meal is going to be fulfilled. He's facing death. He's facing crucifixion. He's facing being beaten. He's facing being mocked. All these terrible things. But he had this great longing desire for this moment. Now, in this, I see the greatest example you could ever see of someone being focused. I mean, really dialed in to what he has to do. And even though there's all these bad things he's going to go through, he's keeping his eyes on the good thing. The good thing here is he's going to fulfill the Passover and take the judgment that we deserved and our sin upon himself as the sacrificed lamb. That's the good thing. And he kept his eyes on that. If we look at what we're going through, we can get angry and bitter and distracted. But we must stay focused. And when we struggle with that, and there's times you're going to struggle with that, this is the thing to remember. Jesus kept his eyes on fulfilling the will of God, on doing all that was to be done, and that precious joy of seeing the prophecies fulfilled, and the joy of seeing the family of God being birthed. Again, the lady who's bringing forth a child. You can't focus on the contractions and the labor pain. You have to get your eyes on you're going to be holding that little baby. And, you know, all the pain. When I'm in a new place, a lot of times I'll preach an initial message off Hebrews 12. And I like to always ask the ladies, how many here are mothers? So many hands go up. And I'll say, how many have had more than one child? And a lot of hands will go up. I'll say, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? And they're looking at me. And the interpreter's getting all nervous. Oh, no, he's going to offend all the women here. What's wrong with you? You went through all this pain and labor. And I'll scream out, ah! And usually the interpreter doesn't want to do that because it's self-interpreting. But I say, no, do it. So he'll scream out. Yeah, and the ladies are all dialed in with me because they know what I'm talking about. You went through all that pain and you did it again. What's wrong with you? It's for the joy of new life, the joy of holding that child and new life. You did it again. And some of them again and again and again. Because the joy of new life. And that's what Jesus was looking at. Like a woman who's going to birth new life. He's going to be used of the Lord to birth the family of God. And they're still being birthed. We're still being birthed into the kingdom of God all over the world. And that moment, he could see what was going to come out of it. So he submitted. And he saw this moment that even though his betrayer is sitting at the table with him, he knows the disciples are going to run away for fear. Even though Peter said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We can tend to think a little more highly of ourselves than we should. Peter thought a little too highly of himself. I'll never leave. I'll never forsake. Jesus said, yeah, you are. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Jesus struggled after he saw him at the seashore after the resurrection. He still felt the guilt that he ran away. And three times Jesus asked him and said, Simon, do you love me? He said, feed my sheep. Yes, Lord, I love you. He had him confess that just as in the beginning. And he did the miracle with multiplying the fish coming into the boat. And Jesus caused Peter to know, yes, he is forgiven. Sometimes our struggle is forgiving ourselves. God forgives us, but we need to believe in that forgiveness to where we say, Lord, if you forgave me, who am I not to forgive myself? Who am I not to believe in that and release that? Well, Jesus was so focused. After this, his disciples start arguing over who's the greatest. And that had to be heartbreaking. Because for Jesus, they still didn't get it. They walked with him for 3 years. So that's where in John 13, he teaches them about being the servant of all, washing their feet, being the servant of all. But it would be after they were born of the Spirit that they would see it. But when you're pouring your life out and someone still doesn't see it yet, you could be tempted with a doubt. Are they ever going to get it? Did I pick the wrong group? Now, he didn't doubt because he sought the Lord before they were selected. But sometimes we doubt things like that. Did I make the wrong choice? But he had faith the Spirit of God was going to open her eyes. So he just continued on with them, continued speaking to them. In the midst of all of that, he's so focused and dialed in. He's going to please the Father. He's going to finish what would have been given to him to do. Now, as most of you would have come to know, we've had to put our German Shepherd down a few months ago. I guess it's about 2 months ago now. And we got another puppy. And she's now 15 weeks, I think. Well, anyway, maybe 14 weeks. But in raising this German Shepherd puppy, I've had three before. I have a vision for what she's going to do. I have a vision for what she'll become. It doesn't look like it just yet. That little puppy, take her outside, and she gets scared. You know, motorcycle go down the street, and you know, she wanted to bolt into the house. And there was this big breakthrough last night because this one neighbor has two dogs. I don't know the name of the breed, but they look like pit bulls, and their heads are as big as basketballs. I mean, literally. And they look like they have a big smile on their face. Kind of nice dogs, but my neighbor will let them run loose sometimes. And I'm out with my puppy, and here comes these dogs. I'm thinking, oh, no. And she's kind of like hiding behind my leg. I mean, they're scary to look at. Their head is as big as a basketball. So I sort of like was commanding this other guy's dog down. But here just the other night, I took her out. And they came out, and the guy had them on a leash this time. I'm going to walk them. And my little puppy's there. Ruff, ruff, ruff. This courage came into her. She's barking at these two dogs with heads as big as basketballs. It's the funniest looking thing. It's like something out of a cartoon. But I see this little ounce of courage coming up in my puppy. And I told my wife, I said, she's going to become that dog that's going to own the block like the last one was. If anything's within eyesight, that's on her territory. And she's going to tell them, you're not allowed my turf. And so anyway, and the thing of protection, you know, being there. And I know that breed's bred for that. And that's what I'm expecting, even though right now the training process, you know, she's likes to bite our hands. She doesn't mean to hurt us. It's just that's how she explores. And her teeth are like little needles. My wife and I have puncture marks all over our hands. And I keep telling my wife, you know, I say, Donald, you have to hang in there. Be determined, more determined, or just like a little kid. Your parents, young kids, you know, you got to be determined. You have to stay with it. You have to believe in what you're doing in the training and stay with it. With the image in your mind of what she'll become. You know, and parents that are faithful and working with kids, they need a vision of you becoming a man and woman of God. And you might mess up and do all kinds of things kids do. Sometimes I'll text my wife at home, how's the puppy? What's she doing? And she'll tell me something. I say, it's puppy being puppy. I'll text back, puppy being puppy. Because they'll chew everything up. I mean, you have to keep your eyes on them. Kids make mistakes. Kids can be foolish. Sometimes you break things. I've thrown a baseball through my neighbor's window as a kid. I mean, you do some things like that, and it's not like you're meaning to be bad, but you just kind of didn't use your head right there and playing pitch and catch, and there's a window right behind the other person. You sail one high, it goes through the window, and it's like, oh, no, I'm going to face my dad over this, you know. But we're becoming something. And those that are involved in training have to believe. You believe your kids, believe you guys are going to become men and women of God. So we just keep working, and all of us to become more like Jesus, no matter how old we are, to still become more and more like him. And one of the things is that perseverance, where he was so focused on what he had to do that he had a great joy, even though all this bad stuff is going to be happening, was happening. He's so focused. I brought the dog thing up for a reason. I saw a video this week, and there was a police officer who had a canine, he had a German Shepherd. And I didn't quite catch the very, very beginning if this was a guy in a pickup truck. I don't know if he shot at the police officer, but there was a hole in the driver's side window. So the glass was broken, but it was still hanging all around it. And he commanded the dog, and the dog jumped through a pickup truck window. I mean, a pickup truck window, you're sitting pretty high off the ground. He jumps through the glass. It's all broken all the way around. It was like a hole through it. The dog went through the glass, took a hold of the guy inside of his arm, clamped down, and the chase was over. The story was over. And I marveled, that dog diving, and I think the guy might have shot at the officer, potential bullets, gunfire, through a glass window, to obey and fulfill the commandment of his master. And I'm thinking, I want to be like that when I grow up. That's how I want to be, Lord, because that's how you were. Jesus went through it all to please the Father, to finish the command that was given to him. Just like that shepherd went through the glass in the face of, you know, the man's already been a threat, through the glass to please his master. And then they had him on a television interview. And this dog loved his master. And it just showed him there, like, all he's doing is looking up at the master on TV. And there's all these distractions, lights and people and all this stuff. And that dog was just complete adoration of his master. If you want to be loved, buy a dog. But anyway, but see, that's how Jesus was, is, and is to come. Complete love of the Father. That no matter what he was going to go through, the only thing on his mind was to keep the commandment and to finish what was given him to do. And that's what that kind of dog, that's what they live for. And I just so admire that in that breed. I mean, there's other breeds that do it too, but I so admire that. And it's like, I embrace that for myself. That's how I want to be. That's what I see in Jesus. And Jesus fulfilled the Passover. So then he proceeds to say, he took the cup, gave thanks, divided among yourselves. He said, I'm not going to drink the fruit of the vine, or I'm not going to do this again until the kingdom of God would come. He took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it. Gave to them, saying, this is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also he took the cup, and it's the New Testament of my blood shed for you. So a lot of times I'll read from 1 Corinthians 11, but it's quoting from right here. So as we take the bread, we take the cup, we recognize that it's symbolic of what Jesus fulfilled that was symbolic. He actually was the Lamb whose blood was shed. And he offered his body. Our sin was put upon him. And he took it away, so that we don't have to bear it. There's no reason for any of us to carry guilt or condemnation. But God gives us peace. So praise the Lord. We're going to partake communion, and the ushers would pass out the bread and the cup, and you guys are ready with a song as well. Hallelujah. Father, we take this bread, which is symbolic of the body of Jesus Christ. We do it as a point of identification, where we identify your death and resurrection, Lord, and that you were raised up in newness of life. Hallelujah. Resurrection life. Lord, so we take this bread, we eat it now. We take this cup, representative and symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ. We partake of this juice as a point of identification with the blood of Jesus, by which we've been redeemed, our sins are forgiven, and we have the gift of righteousness. We thank you, Lord, your blood speaks of our redemption. So we drink this cup in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we recognize in our salvation, you provided so much for us, Father. So much provided for us. We thank you for it, Father. Forgiveness of sins, peace to our soul, healing to our bodies, deliverance from every work of the enemy. Father, we release faith now for all that you purchased for us through the blood of Jesus. And we declare we are forgiven, we are healed, we are delivered. Your Holy Spirit's within us to do a work through us and in us. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. For the ministry of your angels in our lives. We thank you, Lord. Protection. Lord, help us to know the criteria to judge ourselves is the example our Lord Jesus has given us. Help us to be more like him in persevering, keeping our eyes on that which you have for us, Father, rather than the things we go through or experience. We thank you, Lord, we have joy and victory as a result. We thank you, Lord, for joy springing forth in us as a people as we acknowledge you today. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen.